Our speaker tonight is a friend and brother, Mr. Luke Thompson, from our Pershore Ecclesia, and as a suitable introduction to his subject, What Christadelphians Hope For, Luke has asked that we take an introductory reading from Matthew's Gospel record, chapter 25. Matthew 25, and we're going to be reading the first 12 verses of that chapter. Again, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And it gives me pleasure now to invite Sir Luke to speak to us upon this subject, What Christadelphians Hope For.
Okay. Thank you very much, and a very good evening to everyone. Hope you're all doing well. Tonight's subject is an interesting one because it's what Christadelphians hope for. Now, I don't mean to stand up and represent the whole of Christadelphia. So if you see a whole mob of people coming up to me at the end, you probably know that I've actually said everything wrong. but yeah, this actual talk came across from a conversation that took place between me and my hairdresser, can you believe? It was a set of questions that he had with certain things that he didn't understand, and it was sort of the case of, well, there's so many different religions, there's so many different things. What is it about the Christadelphians? What is it that you believe that's so different? And of course, I tried with the stance of, well, we believe what's said in the Bible is the truth. And he turned around to me and said, yeah, well, why doesn't everybody say that? And so what I really hope from tonight that you get from it is that everything we're going to be talking about is from the scripture. And that's the key thing. So one of the first questions that my hairdresser had was, well, first of all, what happens when we die? If you wouldn't mind, please turn to a book which is called Ecclesiastes. Now we can't be certain who wrote this book, but it's believed by quite a lot of people that it was written by a king who was called Solomon. And Ecclesiastes and chapter 9, and really what this whole book is about, it's really about this king's sayings, his wise words, and he talks to people about this. And this is what he has to say in verse 5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. And verse 10. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Turn back a couple of books to Psalms and Psalm 146, if you wouldn't mind. This is what the psalmist has to say about this as well. Psalm 146 and verse 4. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. And so we can see there, clearly from Scripture, Old Testament Scriptures, yes, but we can see clearly that there's this, what might come across on the surface, a very bleak and depressing stance on what happens when we die. We die and that's it. We can see that clearly in the Scriptures. And I'm sure you wouldn't have come tonight in thinking that, well, if that's all there is, you know, if that's all that there's going to be, as soon as we die and that's it. You would probably ask the question, well, why do so many people believe in God? Why do so many people believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? And that's what we're going to look at. The story doesn't end there. When we die, it's not just it. And we're going to look at Scriptures that tell us exactly what happens. Let's go to the New Testament now. We're going to have a look at something that Jesus says in his Gospel, John chapter 14. In the Gospel, sorry, in John chapter 14, and right at the start. So John chapter 14, and look at what it says here. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Which is interesting. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. So that's interesting there, a bit of a twist on the story, if you could call it that. Is that here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is that he's going to go somewhere and he's going to come back. Turn a couple of pages to Acts chapter 1. Completely different situation here. This isn't Jesus talking, but this is Jesus, and he's about to rise up to heaven. He's died on the cross. He's been resurrected from the dead. And this is the situation here where the disciples are standing on a mountain, and they're looking to Jesus, and Jesus is about to rise up into heaven. Verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Interesting. So that's Jesus and the angels so far that have said and have this idea that Jesus is going to come back to the earth. Well, look at one more example. It's in Acts chapter 3, so only a couple of pages. From this moment in Acts chapter 1, which we've just read, the disciples are now going to start their preaching work. They want to tell everybody in the world about this Jesus who died and was resurrected from the dead. And he's going to set something up. He's going to come back to the world. And so in Acts chapter 3, we actually have here Peter giving a talk. He's giving a talk to lots of Jews and other people that were there. And he says in verse 20... We're coming in sort of in the middle of the talk here, so we don't understand the whole context, but you'll get the point. And in verse 20 it says, And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things. Now look at this as well. So we've just understood here that Jesus is going to be in heaven until the right time. And then it says, which God has spoken by the mouths of all his holy prophets since the world began. And then it goes on to say something that Moses said. Interesting. So what we've looked at so far is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We've looked at angels. We've looked at Peter, one of the disciples here, who also makes reference to the fact that so many prophets, prophets you usually would find in the Old Testament of Scripture, so for example, Isaiah or Jeremiah. And all these people are talking about Jesus coming back to set up a kingdom. That's the first time we've mentioned that word, but that's exactly what it is, and we can understand that through other scriptures as well. So when Jesus comes back, he's going to set up something which is going to be called a kingdom. And what I want us to do now is I want us to look at certain scriptures, prophecies, that talk about what this kingdom is going to be like. And a question I want you to ask yourself is, do you want to be there? Is this the type of world where you want to live? And the first of those scriptures we'll find in Psalm 72. Psalm 72. This is what it says the kingdom's going to be like. Look at verse 2. So Psalm 72. He will judge your people with righteousness. Let's stop there for a second. You think about so much injustice that happens in the world. How you can read about something where it seems totally unfair that this is happening to this person or to that person. What we've just read is that this kingdom is going to be ruled by someone who will judge with righteousness, who will always make the right decision. And you're poor with justice. The mountains will bring peace to the people. How many wars are there? I don't think I've got the statistic here, but something you might want to look at in your own time is how wars have progressed over the last few centuries in terms of the number of wars that have been recorded. If you were to look at the numbers, you would be astonished by how many more wars are going on in this century than there have in centuries gone past. What it's saying here is that the kingdom will be peaceful. Do you want to be there? Verse 4. He'll bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. Let's look at verse 7. In his days, the righteous, the people that are trying to do the right thing, shall flourish. And abundance of peace until the moon is no more. This is also interesting. Look at verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This kingdom isn't going to just be in one place. This is going to be the whole world. And so we need to be ready for it. Verse 15. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Prayer also will be made for him continually. And daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth. There you go. There will be food for everybody. On the top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon. And those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. And for those who have already made that decision that they want to be there, read this. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. That's just one scripture. I'd like us to look at two others, if that's okay. The next one is found in the prophecy of Isaiah, so we need to go this way. And it's Isaiah and chapter 35. So this is one of the examples of one of the prophets we read about earlier who has talked so much about this idea of the kingdom. We'll pick out a few verses as we go on. Verse 3 talks about strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, that the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters, you think about some people who can't even have clean water. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool. Verse 8, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And how about this, if it hasn't convinced you so far, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. I think this might be the important bit for you. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We've read a lot of scripture there, and I understand that. But I think you can understand why. The question we all must ask ourselves, is this the type of place we want to be? Even for us that have been baptized, even for those who have been baptized for many years, we have to remind ourselves, don't we? Is this the place we want to be? Is this the vision that's in our mind? Is this the place where we want to be, and we want to serve, and we want to praise God? A place where there's going to be everlasting joy, where there'll be no more sorrow or sighing. Nothing evil, nothing sinful. Is that a world that you want to be part of? So what do you have to do? If you haven't made that decision yet, that you're not sure whether or not it's the place for you, but you'd like to know what it is that it's got to happen, a fundamental, at least a starting point to get to that kingdom. What is it? Well, it's something that Jesus tells his disciples. It's found in another gospel record. It's Mark, and it's chapter 16. And Jesus says plainly here, to sort of the starting point, the first decision that we've got to make in order to try and get there, to be at that kingdom, we find in Mark 16. This is what Jesus says. This is what Jesus says you have to do in order to try and get there. He says in Mark 16 and verse 60, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And how does that make you feel? To think that this, as the starting point, could be the very thing that may get you into the kingdom. Of course, there's things that we have to do after baptism in terms of leading a life that's as close as possible to the way Jesus lived his life. But as a fundamental, as a starting point to be baptized, you could have and you could make the potential there to be in this place where there's going to be no more poor people, where everyone's got food, everybody has clean water, where it's going to be ruled by someone who will make the right decision, and not just a few times, every time consistently. We'll look at other examples as well in Scripture of other people who've made that decision and got baptized. You know, when we were looking at Acts, in chapter 2, if you don't mind going there, and verse 41, we talked about how Jesus... Peter had been given this talk, and in verse 41 we read, and then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They heard this message and they decided, that's the world I want to be. That's what I hope for. And they made that decision to be baptized. 3,000 people that day. You don't have to turn there, but Acts chapter 8 records an Ethiopian eunuch who's reading some scriptures, and it talks about how he was told about it, he got a better understanding, and he got baptized. Acts chapter 10 is actually the recording of the first Gentile. Gentile means a non-Jew. The first Gentile who got baptized, him and his family, they prayed. It said that he feared God. And God sent Peter to go and meet this person. And Cornelius and his family, as soon as they understood, got baptized. In Acts chapter 9, we read about Paul's conversion. Paul was this man who hated anything that was Christian. Anything that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he hated it. But he was stopped. And he went completely in the opposite direction. He got baptized too. I think really the point that I'm trying to make with all of this is, whether you like it or not, Jesus will come back. Jesus will come back to the world. And it will be in such a way, and it will be so massive, that I don't think the world will be quite ready for it. And so we all have a decision to make. Every one of us. Do we want to be there? Let's turn to the reading that we had. It was Matthew and it was chapter 25. Sometimes when Jesus was giving a talk to lots of people, he would do it in a way which is called a parable. And to kind of simplify that and what that means, it's really an earthly story, but with a heavenly meaning. And what I mean by that is he would use it in a way so people would understand, but there was such a deeper meaning, such a deeper understanding to it, and we would have to understand exactly what each part was to really understand what it was about. But to give context to what we're about to read, the 10 virgins, it's really just an example of people. And so when we read this, just see it like that. And the oil, and if you want to see why it means this, we can talk about it afterwards. But the oil is pretty much the word of God in their lives. So let's read it with that context. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." And we missed this verse before, but I think you can really see the importance of it. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." What if he came back and we understood? We understood the scriptures and we were not baptized. What if we came back and We wanted to, but we never quite made that decision. What would happen? We all have a choice to make. And something that we referred to earlier was, like it or not, Jesus is coming. So what do Christadelphians hope for? Well, we hope for that world where it's going to be peaceful. That amazing kingdom, and we read so many verses, didn't we? And we can't be specific about what it's going to be like, but wow, it's going to be powerful. And we have that choice to make. Do we want to be there? Because I'm sure we would like to hear the words of verse 21 of this chapter. A different parable, but still. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Thank you.